Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey, everybody. Hey, listen, I should say. That's what Navi says. My name is Sam Claiborne. I'm here with Per Schneider and Callie Plaguey.
Welcome.
We are doing NVC together this week. Jose is out sick. It's been a long time. I used to host NVC. I'm really happy to be back hosting here. And you guys are on all the time, right?
That's right.
So you guys will have to help me through this very tough time. No, I love hosting NVC. It's been too long, and I'm very happy to be here. This week, we had major Nintendo news about their mobile plans and about many other things. We're going to be talking about a lot of news today. And first of all, Nintendo's first smartphone game, besides two Pokemon apps, there's a Pokemon game about,
There was one as early as in 2011.
Pokemon Shuffle is
They were earlier than that. There was a 2011 Pokemon Company game, and that's because Pokemon Company operates independently from Nintendo, right? Yeah. It's its own business.
So there's these two Pokemon apps, but there's a smartphone game now called Miitomo.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce it?
Miitomo.
Miitomo.
It's like me and then Tomodachi.
Tomo is together, like Tomodachi means friend.
Tomodachi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's part social network, part Tomodachi Life, like the game that some of us, I have played that game. I don't know if you guys got to play it. Its announcement freaked out investors a little bit. It freaked out the internet a little bit. But we're here with another take.
Yeah,
because
I don't think it
looks that bad. I think it's an interesting experiment. And I think Nintendo has been known for really experimental titles recently. Those are the things that have been doing the best for them, like Brain Age and, of course, Wii Sports, which are not Mario games.
So, I mean, let's look at the background, right? There was news leaked out that Nintendo would finally announce its first mobile game, right? Mm-hmm. The first full-fledged Nintendo-made mobile game. And so I think expectations then ran high as to what franchise would they launch with. Everybody always thinks Mario first or Zelda or something like that.
Hey, Pear.
Yeah.
I have some visual examples here for people looking at the video, and I'll describe them for people on audio. Right. These are some early examples of just what you're talking about, Nintendo reaching out and starting an experiment on PC with Mario, because we know this new game is going to come to PC and iPhones. Mm-hmm. These are three PC games, Mario's Missing, Mario's Time Machine, and Mario Teaches Typing, my favorite.
This is your own personal collection?
Yeah, which came out in the early 90s. Nintendo worked with PC developers to put these out. Interplay on this one, which is kind of interesting. So
that was the old school approach,
That was
right?
the old school approach. Put Mario in everything.
Take your big character and
These didn't work out so well.
Well, they weren't good.
No.
Right, and they weren't good.
I learned typing from it.
And to be fair, though, they did think about the PC and said, "All right, what can you do on a PC? It's got a keyboard. It's got very different from our platform. So let's do something for that platform."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing with mobile. And so I think the initial reaction from fans was, "I want a Mario game." And then they hear it's Miitomo, and it's essentially a gamified social networking app, is what it is, right?
But I don't think people are even looking at it that way. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a Mario game on mobile. I would
really
prefer this. Yeah, I want my Mario game with the controls that I'm used to. This is when I'm on the BART on every morning to get to work.
That's our Bay Area Rapid Transit
Bay Area
for people that live in.
It's just a train.
It's a train.
It's
train.
Really it's a lame train.
It goes under the ocean.
The ocean, but it sounds like you're descending into the depths of something awful. You know, there's not a lot of seats on BART, and I often don't get a seat in the morning. And so I can't pull out a 3DS and play a game like for 15 minutes while I'm on the BART waiting for my stops, you know. I would rather... Well, if I get a seat, I do play my 3DS. But if I can use one hand and hold onto the train with the other, have something, you know, short.
It's a unique situation, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think a lot of people commute. I think a lot of people take trains. That happens much more frequently.
I never thought about the one-handed idea. Instead of holding your phone on the side and even really engaging with it.
Yeah, like
so
just using something short and easy while I'm waiting for my next stop. I think that's a much bigger thing in Japan even, which
And it looks like the gameplay is based on checking your Facebook status, checking stuff like that. And that's what you're getting at, is that it looks like a social network.
No, it's Tinder for shy people. I mean, that's basically what it sounds like.
Heard it here first.
Swipe right on my me.
I mean, they took one of the most popular things that mainstream consumers identified with the Wii, and that was the Mii creation, right? Creating a copy of yourself with this really stylized, simple system was what restarted the whole avatar craze on platforms, right? Microsoft did it later as well. And it worked really, really well. And so they're taking that element and then they're merging it with meeting people, living in the real world, where maybe there's somebody sitting in the train from across from you, and you're not sure how to approach them, and you want to share your likes and dislikes with other people, and that's what it's based on, right?
Yeah,
that's what Tomodachi Life is kind of based on, but it has this weird kind of RPG relationship element to it. We don't know if any of that is in this title, right?
So we did see some screenshots. And in the screenshots, you have Miis, and they're commenting on, or they're making statements about themselves and other people. So it looks like it's kind of interconnected sharing of information with strangers. I mean,
And think about it, that with your Facebook profile, that doesn't really work, right? You don't want to pass somebody and then have them see a photo of you and like your close kind of information. But this kind of creates, it's like the avatar that you have when you're posting on a forum, right? You can choose to make your character not look like you,
right?
But like after a while, like let's say there is this kind of Street Pass element to it that is kind of free.
And we all got into Street Pass games.
Street Pass was cool, right? The only limitation to Street Pass is not that many people carry a 3DS and have it on, and you certainly cannot connect to the internet,
like the Street
Pass
when Olympics, where it's just like tons of people participating in Street Pass.
Right.
That would be interesting.
But think what will happen in a Japanese subway when you see the same person for the 10th time. You start to build a connection, right? You're like, oh, this person is always on here.
But it's safe in Japan. Here you're going to get murdered.
Yeah, but you can choose what to do, right?
I think it's interesting that you bring that up because there's kind of a an element. You know, when they announced Pokemon Go, they talked about wanting people to engage with the real world rather than just kind of being absorbed in their phones. And I think that you get that element here with Miitomo as well. Like, rather than just sitting on the subway or the train or whatever you take to get around and looking at your phone and being isolated, the object is to connect with other people. And so you kind of see the similarities there. I think that's really interesting. I don't know if I want to befriend people on the train, but it's definitely interesting.
And I think that's how you have to approach it, right? We are consumers of games. We love Nintendo's games, but we also have to realize that not every product they create is targeted directly at us, right? There are 5 games coming until the first quarter of 2017 from them. They've said every franchise is open, right? That means we will see Mario and Zelda-based stuff, but probably not Mario and Zelda games, right?
And this is targeted for March.
Yeah. 2016.
No, 5 new titles by March 2017.
Yep.
So, yeah, we have a lot of time to play Nintendo games on iPhone that may be much different than this one. You know what's interesting about this to me is that, like, I can't believe they're using Miis as the thing to associate Nintendo with on phones. Granted, we're not getting a Mario game, but, like, why isn't it in, like, a Nintendo universe or something, like, really – like say if you took this and it was just, like, also in Donkey Kong World sometimes and Smash Brothers style where, like, you have, you know, Mario backgrounds stuff. Instead, it's, like, all in, like, houses and Mii backgrounds and stuff. And it's just, like, why not just make this a big Nintendo social network thing with branding and a bunch of the cool stuff? Like, the mini games could then have, you know, Kid Icarus in them and like stuff, but then stuff that people recognize instead of just being like tennis and things that Miis do.
Well, we don't know, right? We don't know where this is going to go. We've only seen the very beginning of it. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the other announcement as well, right? The whole network setup. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like the Miis are not daunting. Like, you're not seeing a character like the majority of people out there, even the majority of people who play games do not know Samus. Right, that is not a universal character.
Oh, so sad.
Everybody knows Mickey Mouse,
but
right?
We know but their you look at a Mii, is to get people to see those things and then be like, "Oh, that's interesting. I want to play more on the 3DS."
Sure, but that is something. But that they to want. Me, that's a different strategy from this app where they're trying to create this universal identity that will one day span all other platforms. Right, that's where this is going. Miitomo is not going to be this standalone thing that's just on mobile phones. Like, that Mii will live on all the platforms. I think it's really smart. Mm-hmm. It is not a game that most core gamers will want to play, but it really is a smart way to take the concept of a social network, make it a little bit, I mean, ironically impersonal, right? Like, it's personal, but it's a little safer. You're removed from it. I think it's really smart, and it will work in Japan.
It will absolutely work in Japan. I'm interested to see how it works in the U.S. particularly. But I think it's really smart.
It will work in high schools in the U.S.
I think it's really smart for a Nintendo mobile game to take this approach.
Yep. So.
And to wrap it up, I think it's always great that Nintendo uses Japanese slang and Japanese words and stuff in their branding now. It's just really funny to get a game called Miitomo that's supposed to be this big worldwide launch thing. But Nintendo's always done that. Nintendo never changed their name. They always stuck with interesting names.
But notice the strategy, right? They're not taking Tomodachi Life, even if it is connected.
Yeah.
They're saying, oh no, it's not exactly like Tomodachi Life. Therefore, it's not called Tomodachi Life something something. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of a contraction of their Miiverse and Tomodachi Life.
That happens a lot with Japanese in general, just combining words like that to convey meaning. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Very clever.
Okay, this week Nintendo announced a new points program called My Nintendo. It replaces Club Nintendo. I'm a big fan of Club Nintendo. I was a member for a very long time. Just got my calendar for 2016 in the mail. We're excited. The thing is, you can now...
A little late, no?
I just got it, but it's for 2016. Luckily, right. It's not for 2015.
Right. No, I mean, Club Nintendo is gone.
The thing is, you can now play games to get points, similar to Microsoft's achievement system, it sounds like.
The Xbox Live rewards, maybe. We don't know what it's going to be like.
Or just the fact that you're playing for extra points in a game externally is kind of like achievements or trophies to me. But you can also get rewarded for that. So some of the rewards they already announced are digital games. Mm-hmm. So you can get Club Nintendo is like this too, but I know a lot of people didn't participate in Club Nintendo, though I bet about a lot of people listening did and watching. But you can also get physical rewards. So thank goodness they're bringing back some of those cool physical rewards, which I just look forward to so much.
I love my Animal Crossing playing cards from Club Nintendo.
I agree. And the the Game & Watch, the special editions were really cool. I mean, it's cool.
Oh my gosh, those are my favorite.
I think,
they made a new Game & Watch.
To people who were familiar with Club Nintendo, they look at these announcements, they'll say like, wait, My Nintendo, why is this not just Club Nintendo? Why did they even shut down Club Nintendo and bring it back? And I mean, I personally think the story there is the infrastructure of Club Nintendo was PC-based. It was terrible. And it was something that fell over all the time. You saw it when people tried to get in.
It was based on paper that came in your games
that
you put on the internet. That's just not something that you can – you might as well just burn that down.
They cobbled together some other stuff, right? Like downloadable games later on, you could register. They were registered automatically. But the moment you put in a disc, it's a different story. And I think they just said, scrap it, work with a new partner, make it multi-platform. It doesn't matter whether you're on a console, on a PC, or a mobile device, on a tablet. This will work across all of them.
But, and it used to be, again, about just buying a game.
Yep.
Right? It was linked to buying a game. But what is it going to be like to play a game? Like, are they going to give us challenges? Are they going to give us achievements? Like things? Because they have been experimenting with those in Smash Brothers and a lot of other games. There's just like, 100 challenges to get through.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting to me. So I'm one of those people that's kind of insecure about my gamer score because I've spread my gaming across so many different platforms.
It used to matter a lot more than it does
now. No, it doesn't matter now. But like, so one time my friend turned to me because I was kind of expressing this insecurity, and she was like, yeah, but like if Nintendo had achievements, you'd be totally dominating. And I was like, you're right. And then I felt way better about myself. So I kind of like, you know, the prospect of getting some sort of recognition for how much time I spend playing on Nintendo platforms. But it's also not clear how this is. It doesn't seem like achievements. It doesn't seem like once you do this special thing, you get in it. It's almost like you put your disc in.
Do you think it could be time-based?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really, we don't know enough, but I have a lot of hopes for it.
Well, that's the thing, though. I bought Animal Crossing, and I got the same amount of points I got for that as I got for, Chibi Robo.
Right.
And it's like, I played Animal Crossing for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know?
I've logged so many.
I'd love to get points for that.
I would love to get recognition for how many hours I have sunk into Animal Crossing in my entire lifetime. It would be so many points.
I think it's going to be a little bit more event-based because playtime, it's so easy to fake, right? Turn on your machine, walk away. They don't want to encourage that, right?
Didn't think about that.
See, we're honest.
Oh, you shouldn't let them know,
I'm
Tara.
Honest, and I would never do that.
But we often talk about, Splatoon. What's the incentive to actually join a Splatfest, right? You don't get to keep the T-shirt. Nope. Everybody's got super sea snails up the wazoo at this point, right? Why should you play, especially if you're not a fan of that mode? And there's something, there could be a currency where if you join it and you get to a certain level, you get X points, and it becomes your kind of show-off score. But I'm not yet sure if it is an external show-off score element, or if it is more like Xbox Live Rewards, where if you play a lot,
which I didn't know existed, Hare just showed me this thing existed.
Yeah, you have to opt in with Microsoft, right? Yeah. You get these points, they get converted into credit, and you can spend them on buying stuff. And it sounds a little bit like that.
It sounds like that, and I think that's more Nintendo than showing off. Yeah. I feel like that's not a very
because they never want to offend anybody. It's like, oh, we're so sorry, your score is so small.
Oh yeah, one of the things that Nintendo does is kind of not offering different easy, normal, hard modes. Everybody plays kind of the same. You get the same experience as everybody else. And then there's more challenging things you can do, you can opt in to do, like getting collectibles or something like that. So I don't think it's particularly Nintendo-like to be like, suddenly we're introducing scores to show how good a gamer you are. That doesn't seem right to me. I think it is something more like
that's one
rewards.
Thing that I do like about achievements is that they've always given you, if you really like a game, there's another layer of things for you to dig into that game and really get something amazing out of it. I remember doing that for games like Resident Evil 5, which in hindsight, I don't know why I did it for Resident Evil 5, or like Mass Effect 2, where it's just like, I'm going to get 100% achievements on this game.
Yeah, Portal
really
2
show
was
off
mine.
About it. Now, if I could do that, and then they sent me a little button to say I did that, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, a real life button that I could put my backpack.
Remember who did that? We talked about this earlier. A little game called a little company called Activision with with an original Atari. If you did this certain thing in Pitfall, if you changed a certain score, they'd send you like a little a little iron on badge.
That's so cool
for joining Pitfall Harry's Adventure Club.
Calling it, I officially want it to be that. I want to get cool pins.
But by the way, notice what wasn't mentioned in the as part of My Nintendo, that's surveys. You know, one big foundation for Club Nintendo was giving you these chores to do, right? Filling out a survey, like, what would you recommend this game
just
to a
realizing
friend,
how much we exploited these previous things. So for, as soon as those happened, everybody was like, yeah, this is what I do. I just click through them as fast as possible. Which, and then remember when we all got the on our 3DSs, the STEP programs, where it's like, when you first get 3DS, you're like, oh, if I walk a lot, I'll get a reward. Everybody's like, you can just put it in the washing machine. Sit at your desk and do nothing.
Hang it from your cat.
We always figure out a way to exploit these programs.
But with that, with Club Nintendo, there was the specific issue that you wanted to get to a certain score level once a year, and then you wanted to actually hold back on some of your things for the next period, right? Like, because you wanted to get to platinum status.
Right.
So I buy a lot of games, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have like 10 of those tickets sit there until the platinum level passes and it gets reset. Then I enter those and I do all the servers. Guess what? That is the worst intel a company could get.
Yeah.
They figured I just bought these games because I registered them. And so the information they got out of that system was junk in the end, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you got quality survey data when people were competing for these rewards. And so, you know, I like that this focuses on something different, and I'm happy that they're doing physical rewards again. That's great.
Yeah. They always come up with cool stuff, although Japan always got the best stuff. They got that Wii Remote that was a TV controller before the Wii Remote even came
out. Europe got cool stuff, too, like little coins and things.
But I got my calendar.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what matters. It's a desk calendar.
I got my Animal Crossing mini playing cards. That's all I cared about.
Oh, that's really great. I love that. Majora's Mask puzzle, though.
Oh, I wanted that. I couldn't get that one.
Do you want to talk about Nintendo Account a little bit? Because I think it's a little confusing, right?
A little wedge of this is that also announced was something called Nintendo Account, which is a cloud-based data service. We don't know much more beyond that. It looks like this could be something that has your saves in it, your game saves, and other data. But basically, this is kind of the above infrastructure to unify your accounts. Because you'll remember, we had to connect our Club Nintendo accounts to our Wii U accounts at one point long ago. So it sounds like they're just like, we gotta burn down this old infrastructure behind the scenes and like start over and just make sure this can be flexible enough to use everything. That's a little bit boring, but it's something that they just have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at first glance,
need cloud saves, I'll tell you that. That'd be really nice for going back and forth between places I play my stuff.
Right. Playing at work even is something that not everybody does, but we do. But
That's true. And it paves the way for NX, right? Because if we do want to have a system that you can carry around and a system you can play at home, it's got to have cloud saving infrastructure.
Right.
It can't just have hard saving.
Look, I mean, this is one of those things where we have to know more what the actual technology is behind it, because everyone can say, hey, we'll provide a unified system between our platforms. Look at Sony with a Vita, right? Like, but what you can't do with a Vita is sign out and have your friends sign in and then play their games. Like, right, there were all these limitations even with a federated, unified system like that.
Yeah.
And so I am hoping that this is truly... that the DRM is attached to your name, right? So if I own a game on the Wii U and my Wii U or my NX, whatever, it breaks and I sign into the next system, it travels with me, which was not the case
really
with the current system. With the 3DS, the licenses are also assigned to the hardware ID.
I get so paranoid about losing my 3DS. One time I lost my purse at the mall, and luckily someone took it to Lost and Found and I got it back, but I was super... my wallet was in there, my first thought was, oh my god, I'm losing all of my Animal Crossing items. And then my second thought was,
the same panic.
I need my ID.
So losing the items is you can't fix that. But Nintendo is pretty good at the customer service level. If somebody loses their system, they will give you your games.
You can just re-download them. You have to call them and like tell.
But also just the time that you put into a game, you don't want to lose that progress.
Yeah.
So that's why cloud saves are super critical.
But what's important with this service is, it sounds like you create a me in one space then too, right? If saved data or data is shared via the cloud, that means instead of creating a 3DS me and a regular me and a name here and a name there and an ID there, you create one thing and it travels to all these platforms.
I'm really excited about that. Perfect ALF me several times.
But let's hope this includes ownership of virtual console software too, because it would just be so wonderful if we didn't have to rebuy it, or if you felt like you're buying something for the future, like instead of just for the platform, which is what you do when you buy physical product, right?
Right.
All right. Nintendo's launch lineup was also laid out very conveniently this week. There are some minor surprises in that lineup. There's also it's a confirmation of some things, too. So starting from the top, even though they haven't ever moved a lot of these titles, we're still seeing that The Legend of Zelda is coming to Wii U next year. They have it squarely listed in TBD.
Under Wii U, squarely listed under it for TBD. But look, I mean, it would be a major S-storm if they removed The Legend of Zelda right now from the Wii U list, even if there is a shift to NX happening. So I wasn't expecting that.
But let me read off two titles here I did not expect to see. Project Giant Robot, Project Guard. These are two games, and please look these up on IGN. We got to play these at E3 2 years ago.
Yep.
They were Wii U games that were kind of loosely tied to Star Fox at the time. They had demoed them at the same time as Star Fox. But basically, like, one is like a giant robot fights another. You build a robot out of blocks, and then they fight each other. That's Project Giant Robot. And then Project Guard was a similar Wii U experience about holding up the Wii U gamepad.
Yep. No,
or was it the one with a bunch of cameras?
The camera one, right? It's Five Nights at Miyamoto's.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, but
you set up a bunch of cameras, and then you have to monitor on your TV all the cameras, and then on your Wii U, you're infiltrating a place.
So it's really neat. I was not expecting to find those titles on the list, right? Like, you know, having covered a few Nintendo generations of platforms, there are always these titles that hover around for years and years, and they're always TBD next year, right? There's in the past, it was like DT, Jungle Emperor Leo. There are all these games. You're like, oh, I wonder if that's ever going to turn into something.
Well, and it's padding. And these are lists are for investors, we should say, and for partners. They're not. This is not for the public, this list that we have.
But what this means, I mean, Project Guard is listed as a 2015 title, right? For the US.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this thing. We don't even know what it is. Is this a downloadable game? We know what the demo was we saw. We don't know what it turned into. And then
that's a fun game. I'm
Project Giant Robot is TBD, which means, you know, it's probably an X.
I didn't think that game was as fun as Project Guard. But it's exciting. So and then also you and I were just reading an article, and you know, Callie was there too, where there was an inkling of hope for new unannounced games.
Well, the Wall Street Journal quoted the CEO, Tatsumi Kimishima, saying there are still unannounced games coming in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And I had made the point, that seems surprising, but remember that the last couple of holiday seasons, we got Dr. Luigi, we got NES Remix. There's games like that kind of span this I just got a Wii U gap during the holidays, which are really exciting. So that's kind of been happening for the last couple
But very, very important. I mean, don't start like, you know, setting the windmills on fire and celebrating that there's something major coming. These are Frankenstein. These are these are going to be downloadable titles. There's no question in my mind that these are not major retail releases that are going to be unveiled, because it's freaking October. It's end of October. There's not a lot of 2015 left.
I've talked about this before. I think it was on Beyond, just how recently we've been seeing kind of less hype. Like Fallout 4 was kind of announced, and it's like, it's coming this year. Here you go. You know, so you get you know,
but the months ahead, right?
Months ahead, but not like a year ahead of time. So I don't think it's going to be anything major. I don't think they would do that. But I do think like there's room for things to still be announced. Kind of weird.
But,
I don't know if I like that.
But there's a big difference. It's kind of like the Dreamcast effect, right? If you are the big guy, like Apple, and you say, hey, guess what? And the iPad, whatever, is going to be in stores next week.
That works.
Retailers will bend over backwards to get that in stock. Apple doesn't care that much. They got their own stores as well. If you are Nintendo right now, you're struggling to get retailers excited to stock your product.
Right.
Let's be honest, right? Because they're bigger titles. When you're Bethesda, you don't worry about that, right? Like Fallout 4, every GameStop wants a wall. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it's digital.
It strikes me as kind of strange. I don't know why they would have unannounced titles left.
I think it's downloadable stuff, maybe some fun stuff. I mean, they talked about The Legend of Zelda. They did not talk about it, but Twilight Princess HD.
Yeah,
there was
that's a really
there was
good
rumblings
prediction.
And rumors about that. Mm-hmm. That could be a downloadable title, right? That drops as a nice little Christmas surprise or something like that. Oh. I don't think it'll be the next Pikmin or anything like
so
that.
So what is the version of Speed Sale for Twilight Princess? So when they put out Wind Waker, they added a thing called the speed sail. You get it within an hour and a half, and it makes your boat go faster.
Yeah. That helps so much.
So what would that be for Twilight Princess?
Well, they already
would
have
it be the skip tutorial button?
Oh, man.
The skip tutorial sail?
Please.
Well, speeding up the conversations for sure. There are parts in Twilight there are parts in Twilight Princess where you're not quite sure where to go. Remember, you had to go like upstream with, and you have to use the boat, and they're like these areas you need to get to, and you're like, how did I get there again? There are definitely some efficiencies that they could be working on.
Those are the good parts of the game. Herding the sheep is what we need to get rid of.
But that,
the sheep just didn't want to get in the pen.
But that connects to the ending. I thought the beginning was dreadfully slow. I loved how it sets up the ending. Mm-hmm. I think that was so cool in that
game.
Wait,
do you have to herd Ganon as a sheep in the end? What are you talking about?
We're past.
All
right,
we're
going to
give you fair warning. For the next 30 seconds, we're going to talk about
ending
the end
of Twilight Princess,
which came out years ago.
Link, as a farm boy in the very beginning, learns how to grab the animal and
toss
it. Oh,
they're wrestling the cows. Yeah, you do that with Ganon in the end.
And
but
that's
you don't
exactly.
Hurt him.
But that's so brilliant that you go back to the very first thing you learn in the game. How cool is that?
Fair.
I think it's great.
Fair.
Anyway, you guys are all haters.
That was a great. No, I thought that was a great point. Thank you. Spoilers.
Spoilers over.
Spoiler over. But yeah, nothing really surprising on the list, right? Except, I mean, Pokken Tournament, confirmation that it's a spring 2016 title for the Wii U. That's nice.
We had that confirmation.
In the U.S.
But it's interesting that that's coming out. Okay, what we're going to be playing also this fall, though, is a new Mario Maker DLC, including what I'm very excited about, a new source of official levels for Mario Maker. Now, I like making Mario Maker levels. I don't make nearly as many of them as you guys do, but I really like just playing levels, and I really want to play Nintendo's levels.
And I think that got lost a little bit in the announcement, right? Everybody's so excited about the big feature for me is checkpoints, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's so frustrating to play a great level that is hard.
You invented a checkpoint.
No, I didn't invent it. A lot of people have been doing checkpoints, right? Like, there's one guy who created this complicated key and lock system.
But you did a good one, too. Did you talk about it on this podcast?
No, but we did a let's play. It hasn't been posted yet. Okay. We'll show that off in that.
He made a series of doors that lead to secret areas that basically take you back to, if you know what to do, you can go back to the middle of the level. That's a checkpoint.
Yeah, but it's not
that's
as
really
nice.
Smart.
It's not as nice as this, right? Like, having the built-in checkpoint, by the way, the way you reach it once the update is out, you grab the arrow, the arrow sign that tells you up, down, whatever. You shake it and that turns into the checkpoint flag. Mm-hmm.
When
you die, you restart from that. I think it's just really good for complicated levels. It gives people, you know, sometimes when you're playing your own level, you're really good at it. Then you give it to people and you'll be surprised at the places they die. Whenever I look at the X's on my maps, I'm like, I can't believe everybody died on their first turtle. Right? And this at least removes the frustration and makes it so you don't have to hold back in the later half of your level.
Mm-hmm.
But
but
what you said about the official courses, I think, is really exciting.
Yeah, so it's not only official courses from Nintendo. They're also partnering with other people. There's something called an event courses tab as well. So there's official courses and then event courses. Event courses are going to have, one of them to describe is called Ship Love. This forthcoming level was created by was created at Facebook headquarters at Menlo Park, and is the first Mario Maker level in the U.S. made by an outside partner.
Yeah, they did this marketing tie-in.
What is this?
No, they did this marketing tie-in before the game came out. I don't know if you guys remembered where they had people just, you know, like big companies and our company too. We have Hack Day events where engineers get together and create cool applications for the company in like a very short time span.
Right.
That was basically the Mario Maker Hack Day. I thought it was really clever. I don't know how many people can relate to a Facebook creator's Mario level, but think about it. This way, when there is a Mario tournament or a big, you know, big esports event or something where you have people creating levels, that could be really interesting.
Yep, and official levels paves the way for creators at Nintendo, even major ones. Like, we could get, like, maybe, you know, in the holiday season, we can get like a level from Shigeru Miyamoto.
That's
an easy way to feature those and put them up now and have them not like get tangled up in everything else. You just go to those and see who made them and then what they are.
There's a lot of potential for that tab, right?
Are you making levels too? Have you made levels?
I haven't had time. I've been
you
reviewing.
You did before the game came out.
Yeah. I have. I think it's super cool though that you can play levels that were designed by designers. I think there's a difference when you're playing someone who's more of a player who's creating a level. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah, for sure.
People who work as a level designer versus people who play. I think those are two very different levels, and I like comparing the two. I think that both are really interesting.
I mean, I dream about a campaign a new Mario 2D campaign being built out just a couple episodes or a couple levels at a time.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they will show kind of like some of the top Nintendo creators and show off their levels.
I think it also gives the game longevity too, because you're going to keep checking back to see are there new levels. I think the event course, just going back to that really quickly, is sort of interesting because, like, when I was in college, we'd have like hackathons where the computer engineering students would go and just make whatever, and there's also game jams that people do, like indie developers do these game jams where they just kind of like work on a game all night and then see what happens with it. So I think that, like, it sounds super marketing-y, but I do think there's cool potential there.
Could be good stuff. I mean, these are fun events, right? Like, if Nintendo takes over more companies and does, like, level hackathons, that'd be really cool.
So you've been dying to talk about Natattack.
No, I don't care about Natattack. Natattack gets in the way when you're creating. It's such a pain in the butt.
Is this sensing power-ups a big deal?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. All right, so in
I know
the
it's
normal...
annoying getting a fire flower when you already have one, but
But in the original game, there was this upgrade structure, right? Like in the game, so if you're small Mario, you hit a question mark block, you get the mushroom. Mm-hmm. When you have the mushroom, then you get the fire flower, and that was removed in Mario Maker, and they're adding it back in, which is just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you'll see some pretty clever use of that, where now you have more of a tiered system. And one of my big issues with Mario
can
Maker,
can you troll with it?
You can absolutely try. You can troll with everything in Mario Maker.
That's the true question.
If you have a flower, will it only give you a mushroom and you can't avoid it?
It's a game where you can load coins into cannons. You control.
Not encouraging it.
Briefers.
But I think the biggest thing about this news, checkpoint's great. The official level's great. The big news here is that game is going to get updates. Like, I don't think this is one update and then they're going to forget it.
No.
It's not a patch. They're not fixing something that was broken. They're adding an element that people are asking for. If that is the start of multiple updates, one every couple of months, that's awesome.
You know what I think? I think this is a Trojan horse. And you know what I think is in that Trojan horse?
Greeks?
A fix to Trojans? The invisible box.
What?
A fix to the invisible blocks.
So I've,
they're like, we're going to give you all this stuff. They're like, we got to take out those invisible blocks.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with the invisible block, there's a glitch where with a certain combination of items using the rail and different items, you can create an invisible block or an invisible whatever you want, like invisible block types.
It's an exploit.
They're going to fix it. The problem is it will break a lot of levels. And a lot of levels that use invisible blocks, you cannot beat them anymore.
Yeah, maybe it'll be grandfathered in.
So we'll see. I do think
maybe
they're
going to
fix
it.
The invisible blocks are cool, though. Like, if you use
they're
them
so
for
cool.
good,
so
you can
cool.
do
I
good
I thought this
stuff.
Announcement was going to be like, and we're making invisible blocks official. Yeah. Well, that would solve the problem. Yeah. But this DLC was planned way before invisible blocks were discovered and so on.
So we'll see. Hmm. It might die, the invisible block.
Might. 2 weeks ago, we completed our top 100 games list of all time. We haven't done this since 2008.
Yep.
It is a list that includes, I counted them up, 37 games out of 100 were on Nintendo systems. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they were always on Nintendo systems or exclusive to Nintendo systems. I took a little bit of liberty here. Mm-hmm. Doom was on Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64.
Yep.
And,
that's
of course,
one of the first
games Galaga's
I remember
on
playing.
Everything. Really?
Yeah.
On Super Nintendo?
On
I believe it had a red cartridge.
Yeah. It was
Maximum Carnage did. I can't remember.
My memory.
No, black cartridge. It was black.
My memory is super fuzzy, but Doom is one of the first games I remember.
But the vast majority of the games that I counted up, including I would say a third of the games on our list, are Nintendo games, which is great. A lot of PC games, too. I'd say PC and Nintendo were represented nicely on our list.
Pretty nice representation considering, like, I mean, there's so many.
It could have just been every Zelda, right?
There's just so many. You can add more, too, but there's so many fantastic games out there across all the different platforms. And, you know, the fact that some of these classic games can still stand up there, right? This is there's always a little bit of a nostalgia tinge when you talk about classic games. But in this case, a lot of these you can play today and they're fresh and they're awesome. And they absolutely deserve to be there.
That wasn't a qualification of our voting, like that they have to be great now. But it was all about what were they fun at the time. But, man, when I look down this list, I love playing all these games still. Mike Tyson's Punch. Street Fighter 2, Resident Evil 4. I mean, everything's great. Yeah. I also made it. Go ahead, dude.
Oh, I was thinking about how there's so many games on this list that maybe I wouldn't, if I were, you know, as a reviewer, if I were reviewing them, I wouldn't have rated them as highly, but I remember them with a high opinion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because at the time,
well, that happens. I think games like Resident Evil 2 like didn't age great,
right?
But you know, it was really fun for people at the time. So I also made a short list of games that were in our top 150 uh-huh. that Nintendo did that I wanted to share with everybody. Those include Mega Man 3, Star Wars Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Leader, Bionic Commando, Cave Story, Fire Emblem Awakening, great game, Secret of Mana, Star Fox 64, Tecmo Super Bowl, and worst of all for me, Mario Kart 64.
Yeah. Why was Mario Kart 64
not on there? These games were not
in
our top 100. Well, here is why.
Have you played Mario 64?
Failed me.
Now, I don't want to go too into this, guys, because we did a Game Scoop on it. I really want everybody to check out Game Scoop this week. A lot of Nintendo topics.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. We talk a lot about why Mario Kart 64 wasn't on here. Here's the short of it. Everybody likes a different Mario Kart. So people were behind Mario Kart 8. And they're behind – I really like Double Dash.
I was about to say Double Dash.
But I was throwing myself on the sword for 64.
It's cool if you like the worst Mario Kart.
But basically it came down to people fighting over Mario Karts and not being able to rally behind a single Mario Kart. And it totally failed. I tried to get everybody to be like, listen, you should vote for Mario Kart 64 because six people like that and five people like the other thing, that wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I felt like the Speaker of the House trying to get votes.
It's the fun and the peril of having a group of people decide on something, a topic as big as the best games of all time. And like Mario Kart 64 is a top 20 game for me. It's just so fantastic.
Right.
The two-player and... Part of that is because
I just hear Double Dash every time you say it, and I totally agree.
Because I grew up with it, obviously. I have so many fond memories of playing the two-player, especially the two-player GP with my friend. And then battle mode was just so unique. And by the way, if you set it up now and start playing, you'll be playing for an hour. It is still that good.
I don't
good.
Like battle mode. I liked it at the time a little bit.
Well, I guess they didn't have that in the Soviet Union.
No, there's a sandwich place by my apartment that has an N64 with Mario Kart 64 in it. And while you're waiting for your sandwich, you can play. But people just end up just with their sandwich in a bag still playing because you get sucked into that really quickly.
But by the way, there were some more egregious omissions than Mario Kart 64, I'd say.
Don't say Donkey Kong Country.
No, because I'm not that big of a DKC fan. But, you know, every person who looks at the list says, this is not my list. That's just the nature of having a list made by many people, right?
Yeah, it's a
I'll tell you why it's not my list. Majora's Mask, where?
Majora's Mask is
F-Zero GX, where?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy V, where?
Final Fantasy V, son.
Animal Crossing.
No, Animal Crossing, where?
Nobody played 5.
Huh?
Animal Crossing.
Wave Race 64.
Okay, Animal Crossing Wild World was so excellent for me. I loved that game.
But that's another instance of people can't settle on an Animal Crossing experience to get behind. If everybody liked New Leaf as much as they liked their original experiences, it'd be fine. But like, man, I had so much fun with the first Animal Crossing. I liked Wild World too. Like, it's really hard.
But that's the point, right? Yeah. Games that are not
no
on
one cares
it
about City Folk.
Games that aren't in the list aren't bad. It's just that you know these are universally beloved games by many people on that team.
There's probably 500,000 games in existence right now. So
Conquer
100 are hard to narrow down.
Blastcore 1080.
I think you're getting into the weeds.
Excitebike.
Okay, maybe those are top 500 games.
Eternal Darkness. Brawl. Twilight Princess. Sure. Silicon Valley. Goemon.
I noticed
Ogre Battle 64.
Callie, tell me about this. Pokemon.
Pokemon.
I yellow,
really,
blue.
Really,
all made the list.
Really strongly disagreed with this, and I will tell you why.
Well, what other Pokemon should be on here?
If you're going to go for any Pokemon, I would say Gen 2. Gen
That's
2.
Silver?
Gold, Silver, Crystal.
So all the dry games, basically, is what you're saying.
Pear, I swear. do not.
I don't get it.
Do not start with me. Honestly, I think the first gen of Pokemon games is really rough in a lot of places. There's a lot of problems, a lot of just like actual coding issues that you can exploit.
So yellow is first gen too, right?
Yellow
not
first,
just blue,
yellow,
red, green.
Yellow is better than red and blue because.
Right.
Where did you start the series?
I actually started with Crystal because I refused to play a game until I could be a girl. Mm. That was my secret shame.
Me too.
I actually went back and I played Red, Blue, and Yellow. After
and
I
for so many
them.
People that would have started with Red, Blue, Yellow, I think that's the key here is that they had their Pokemon experience with that, and so many people in the office like had their initial like just. Super wonderful experience with Pokemon was Red, Blue, Green. So Red, Blue, Yellow. So then that didn't carry over to the other games is like that feeling. But that's what makes like it tough to add even another Pokemon game to this, is that people had this one great experience.
I would rather Gen 2 be on here or the Gen 2 remakes than, like, I would rather have Red, Blue, Yellow just not on the list and have Gen 2 on the list.
Yeah.
Because there are so many improvements made. They added eggs, which are a huge deal in Pokemon. Now they're like hugely important to the competitive scene. The remakes, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, were also really big competitively.
Eggs. I'm not convinced yet, Callie. How about the Pokemon?
Pikachu's a mammal.
I don't know Gen 2 at all. I know Gen like 2, the latest ones and the first Gen.
Basically, all of the Pokemon in Gen 2 were designed during the round of Gen 1. So in the first episode of the anime, for example, Ho-Oh appears. Yeah. Ho-Oh is technically a Gen 2
Pokemon.
Oh, I
remember that weird rainbow goose.
Yeah, the rainbow goose in the sky. So, I mean, like, for people who are like, oh, I only like my Pokemon pure in Gen 1, I mean, they were the same round of design, so it's not really a...
Yeah. I first, when I looked at the list, and I'm like, all right, so we only have one Pokemon game. Then I was thinking, well, maybe that's because Pokemon was so iterative, right? Like, The game was never reinvented the way, you know, you went from a 2D classic game to a 3D one. It takes Super Metroid, Metroid Prime criminally ranked low by you fools.
Man, I had a tough time. But, and I just want to point out, Pear was in these meetings, too.
I was not. I was actually not.
I was not in these meetings. I was traveling.
All right, so I am the fool here. Yeah. I could not get a room full of people to get behind Metroid Prime being in the top 20.
Really?
I think it's my favorite game ever. I think it's the best game ever made.
I love it.
I want to personally apologize.
But the control,
the game scoop. I talked about it more.
But the control scheme was divisive, right? There were certain people who said I could not, as a PC player, I could not get used to the lock-on system and the fact that I couldn't free look. I can understand that, but I feel like that game is so brilliant despite that.
There's some open wounds from PC players because the same year Battlefield came out and Half-Life 2 came out. And to get the people that worked here at the time, Tal and Steve, who were working on the PC team, are still like very anti-Metroid because of them having to fight for these PC games. That's my psychology behind it.
You think so? But
and also you can blame it on Marty, who hosts Beyond on IGN, because he keeps on saying that Metroid is overrated, though. And I'm not sure why.
But anyway, so like back to the iterative question, right? Yeah. Like Prime feels different from Super Metroid,
even though
it's the same franchise, but you can't say the same for a Pokemon game.
I guess one of my problems with the list, and I wasn't in the meetings, was the criteria. Like for me, I think that one of the big important things about some of these games is, you know, how they influenced other games, how they influenced the industry, and how they kind of crafted us into the people we are today, which is why Metroid Prime would totally be high on the list for me because of the groundwork it paved. I would have put Quake on the list for the groundwork it paved.
Quake is another good one, yeah.
Yeah, yep, I mean, that's not a Nintendo one, but that's one I would have put very high on
the
list.
They're all number 101.
Yeah, and so... As far as Pokemon goes, I think, yeah, sure, the first gen was really important, but the second gen introduced all of these things that are still hugely important for...
Eggs.
Breeding is so important because that's how you get competitive
grade... I don't
have a
breed
grade,
Pokemon.
You, that's oh, how you
oh,
get
no,
competitive
I know you mean,
grade
yeah,
Pokemon.
For that part,
that's how you are able to remain competitive.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I love... Also, playing as a girl was really important to me. So
well,
that's,
as the
that's
only person here who's been to the Pokemon World Championships, we'll have to take your word for it.
Thank you.
All right, that is all I have for NPC this week. I want to remind everybody that there is now a shows tab on IGN.com. Go to IGN.com, click shows at the top of the page, and you can click on NPC there, and you can see all of our previous episodes. The first time we've had a very easy way to see all these episodes. You can also click on the people in those episodes. There's people like Jose Otero who have their own page. You can see everything that Jose does on IGN. It looks really nice, and it's a great way to experience NVC. And of course, you can watch this show on YouTube. We have some visuals this week that you're missing out on if you're just listening to the audio version.
Sam's short, mostly.
I'm a visual. And I'd like to thank Callie, and I'd like to thank Pear, and I hope to be back on NVC soon. And this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be on NVC. It's always a highlight of my day.
All right, until next time.
Get the thing.
Get the thing.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the
circumstances of her disappearance. Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.